Hi, I'm WTOP Entertainment Editor Jason Fraley, and I'm here with two members of the cast of Blythe Spirit, which is at National Theatre right now. You guys want to just introduce yourself?
Hi, I'm Charlotte Parry. I play Ruth Condamine, which is Charles's second wife. And
I'm Charles Edwards, who plays Charles. Ruth is indeed my second wife. But I have a first wife who is dead, but that's what the play's about.
Yes, don't give away too much.
Yeah, sounds very Rebecca-ish now. Tell us. Let's go into a little bit what the play's about. I know it's got some comedy, but it also has a little haunting in it. So explain how those two genres collide.
Okay, well, my character is a novelist who is writing a book about the afterlife and mediums and clairvoyance and things. And a not very well-known actress called Angela Lansbury plays...
you may have heard of her.
She's a beginner.
Dame Angela Lansbury plays Madame Arcati, who is the local sort of slightly dotty clairvoyant in the village. And he invites her for dinner and to get some inspiration for his new novel. And she unwittingly, during a seance...
materializes
the
first wife.
Of my first wife.
Been dead for 7 years.
Yeah.
To Ruth's great horror.
Chaos ensues.
Yes.
What are your, don't give away any plot, but in terms of your character, what is your character's reaction to having the first wife come back? That's got to be a little unsettling for many reasons.
Deeply unsettling. She sort of loses the plot a bit and descends into slight madness. She tries to handle it very decently.
Yes, she does.
In a very British manner, polite and friendly and all the rest, but... it doesn't last for very long. She hates her, basically.
But when we were rehearsing it, the director, Michael Blakemore, told us to imagine, he said, forget about the ghost stuff. Imagine that your ex and your current are living with you. Mm. And how would that be? And play it like that. So that's what we try and do.
So you played it as if they're both two living...
Yeah, because on stage, she's there. They're both there. You know, you can see the ghost, and except only I can, in the play, only I can see her.
Right. I can't see her. Which is kind of fun, because you're looking in the wrong place.
Oh, that sounds like it could make many hysterical moments.
Yeah. Oh, yes. It's fodder for all sorts of laughs or attempted laughs.
Awesome. Now, when did you guys encounter this material? Did you ever see there was a 1945 movie directed by David Lean with, I think, Rex Harrison?
That's right.
Yeah.
Noel Coward said to David Lean about that movie, "You just screwed up the best thing I ever wrote."
That's a good review.
Nice. Yeah, check it out on Netflix now.
Yeah, check it out. No, it's I happen to think this play, I mean, is a very theatrical thing because we're very used now to seeing ghosts and stuff on screen. Mm-hmm. Whereas in the theatre, to try and do that effectively is a theatrical challenge. And it's exciting to put, like, we have furniture moving when you can't see, you know, all the spooky stuff going on and books flying out of the bookcases and things like that. It's fun to see that in the theatre. And we're very used to that on film. So I think it remains quite a theatrical piece.
What's the level of, just in terms of what you're talking about and the props flying around, what's the level of, you know, visual trickery that's going on? Are the audiences going to be in store for some, almost in a way, a mini magic show? Like, how'd they do that?
Not really. I mean, there is a section which was pretty clever, but not really on the whole.
It's mostly done by the core trio, which is the husband and the two wives. It's done with the fact that the second wife can't see the first wife, but
I
can.
I gotcha.
So
she's moving stuff around.
And
you're pretending that it's
feigning
moving.
Feigning horror.
I gotcha.
Vase moving with no one touching it, but obviously you can see a woman carrying a vase across the stage.
No, that's pretty funny on its own. Tell me a little bit about you guys. I mean, when did you guys get started? How long have you been at it?
Profession.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
I guess.
Where'd you grow up? How'd you get into acting?
I grew up in England and Austria. I'm half American, half English, a bit of time in America as well. And then sort of decided to be an actress when nothing else worked out. I wanted to be a gymnast, but it wasn't very good. Then went to drama school and university for it. So I guess I started at 22 when I left drama school.
Nice.
Yeah, no, I started acting when I was sort of 10, you know, getting into it at school, and then went to drama school. And my first job, having left drama school, was this role in this play, which was pretty strange. So it's pretty strange to come back to it.
But never quite reached the heights. that you reached then.
I was 24 when I first played it.
Okay.
So like 20 years too young. But
what's it like coming full circle? Obviously, it's a familiar role, but it's been so long. So
long way, long time ago. And I purposely didn't look back at my script from that. I didn't want to be reminded of what I did or any inflections I may have made. So it was coming to it completely new. And it has to be said, the fact that we're all here is that it does have Angela Lansbury in it. And
let's talk about her a little bit. What's it like working with the great Angela Lansbury?
Well, she's she's an amazing person. She's you know, her age is, you know, a great deal of fuss is made of her age, but she's for 69, never mind 89, she's something. She really is. And her energy and you know.
She's 89.
Yeah.
She's 89.
But you simply would not know it.
No.
Meeting her in person, seeing her on stage, either. You know, she's extraordinary.
Another amazing thing about her, even, of course, she's extraordinary on stage, as Charlie was saying, which we kind of all know that she's this fantastic actress, but she's so humble and charming and lovely and generous.
Yeah.
Off stage too, that sort of really struck me. You know, yeah. I didn't know what she'd be like as a person, but she's just charming.
Yeah.
No,
she's very silly. She's very naughty.
Didn't I see that she made her pre-Broadway stage debut at National Theatre about 58 years ago? Is that right?
I think that's right. Yeah. In a farce with Bert Lahr, I think. The Cowardly Lion.
Wow. The Cowardly Lion.
Oh,
I think, at the National Theatre?
I think so, yeah.
Wow.
We'll double check that.
A couple of legends together.
I think that's correct.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
He would have been scared by the ghosts. You know, he couldn't have hung in there with the... You know. When did you guys first encounter Angela Lansbury? Do you remember? Was it Manchurian Candidate? You know, Beauty and the Beast? Murder, She Wrote?
Bedknobs and Broomsticks was mine.
Yeah. Oh, no. I tell you what I really remember very clearly is... She did a Miss Marple. She did a movie called The Mirror Cracked, which was an Agatha Christie. Mm-hmm. And it had Rock Hudson, yep. Elizabeth Taylor, Tony Curtis. One of those amazing, slightly wonky 70s, early 80s Agatha Christie crime. But I just, I lapped it up. Absolutely.
And for you, it was Bedknobs and Broomsticks?
Bedknobs and Broomsticks, yeah. Oh, she's
just watching it as a little girl.
Such a beautiful film. Yeah.
That's another thing about being with her. Her voice is so unmistakable.
Yes. Yeah.
And before she comes on stage, she has an offstage line, and you can hear the audience going, oh, it's her, she's here, you know.
Finally, it's the lovely. Reason we came.
It's really lovely.
We can wake up now.
No, I for me, it'll always be Manchurian Candidate. It was the scariest role when she's playing Solitaire and brainwashing him through the Solitaire. If you haven't seen it, you got to check it.
I haven't.
It's fantastic. The original, not the Denzel Meryl Streep one, but it's fantastic. It's got Sinatra and Janet Leigh and a bunch of, it's great.
Yeah.
So what's it like, you watched her in the Agatha Christie thing. You watched her in Bedknobs and Broomsticks. And do you have to pinch yourself being on stage with her in the middle of the show? Is there ever a moment you step back and you say, whoa, that's Angela Lansbury?
Yeah.
It happens most nights.
Yeah.
It really does. It does because it is her and it's you know.
You get on with it, but then you sort of have a little moments when she's really close to us. There's a part when she touches me and Charlie's hands and she's really close and I still get goosebumps.
But also at the end of the show when, you know, people go crazy for her.
Oh yeah, that's something.
To be part of that wave of extraordinary warmth is
it's like being at a rock concert.
Yeah, it is. It was great. I mean, but we did it in London this time last year.
Mm. Same exact cast? Or?
No, Charlotte joined later.
Okay, but you were there with her.
I was there. So we first met, you know, pre-rehearsal for that, and instantly it was, you know, it was obvious that it was going to be a really fun ride.
Nice.
Yeah.
Now, have you learned anything from her as an actor?
Mm.
Either of you?
Yeah.
I feel like I've learned an awful lot. Her comic timing. I feel very lucky that I have a scene with her, as does Charlie, on my own, where we're sort of getting at each other. And I've learned so much from, like, how she comes in quickly and when she leaves a pause and where she looks and just really tiny little, you know, details that make it phenomenal and very clever.
Yeah. Mm.
And what she does with her voice, you know, there's bringing it up high and then bringing it down low. And that's fantastic.
Just little inflections, how she does it.
Yeah.
How about you?
Yeah, it's mostly, I think what I've learned mostly is that she, when you're playing a comedic role, it's easy to hang your performance on the rhythm of the evening where you expect your laughs to come, and sometimes they obviously don't come. But she goes. It's an obvious thing to say, really, but every night she plays the role anew, without any sort of assumption that there will be a reaction, which is for a comedic performance, I think it's a useful lesson not to get too downhearted if the reaction that you want doesn't come back, because it doesn't mean they're enjoying it any the less.
She's wise enough not to let her ego get in the way like the rest of us.
Hey, that was a good joke. Why didn't you laugh?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Well, Evangelist still gone. We're okay. All right. Well, I know you guys got to get to your next interview, but final question. Other than Angela Lansbury and the two of you, of course, why else should our DC audiences come out and check out the show? What are they guaranteed to get when they come out to this particular show?
They're guaranteed a lot of laughs.
Yeah.
The chance to see Angela, although even though you've said apart from her, it is the reason, capital T, capital R, to see the show. She's an extraordinary being, and just being in the room with her is really magic.
But the good thing about it is they'll come, and even if she wasn't in it, it's a really good, funny show. It's very sort of high quality. So they're seeing the legend, and then the rest is yawn. It really is a fab show.
It's a very, very good cast. The play, a lot of questions have been asked about the play. It's a period piece. It's set in the 40s, but there are themes within it, as in many Noir plays, all about relationships. What sexual freedom versus home and domesticity and all these things which are all current to the human condition. So that's not dated in any way.
And because it's a farce,
It's just really funny. It's very, very funny.
Yeah.
There you go. A ghostly comedy with Angela Lansbury and these two talented individuals. Come out and see Bly Spirit. It runs through March 29th at the National Theater, and we're looking forward to seeing you all there. Thanks for coming in, guys.
Thanks.
Thank you. Thanks.